When you love your neighbor, it's the law that you are fulfilling. You're no longer under it for condemnation. Christ fulfilled righteousness for you. Notice what he's saying here. With circumcised hearts, you're now tasting the beginnings of what is going to come full in the resurrection. But you're tasting it. You're getting it. Why? Because the heart has been circumcised. The beginning work is done. The first resurrection has happened. The Spirit has been given to you.
We are exploring the avenue and elements of the law that as believers in Christ, we find great benefit in. Hi there, and welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who returns us once again to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, as we explore the urgency of love. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's broadcast in Romans.
You really do have to have a reason for what you do, don't you? You have to know why you're doing what you're doing. And here's what Paul says tonight, and you'll see how this ties into the confession here in a little bit. Paul says, amidst all of the very real debts that show up in life, financially, with respect to showing honor, with respect to authority, and to be a good citizen, the reason I'm fulfilling those, the reason I'm giving myself to pay back debt, the reason I'm constantly setting myself to fulfill obligations in my life and to be a Christian that always is known as fulfilling obligations is because there is something in my life that is a permanent obligation. And that is love. There's something that is driving the Christian life. I have an ongoing debt throughout my whole Christian life to love. It's really beautiful, isn't it? I pay off. I submit, I respect, I maintain, be a good citizen. I pay all these things off. I continue to pay these off. I fulfill the obligations because there's a greater motivation behind it all. It's my constant obligation to love that now motivates everything that I do. Owe no one anything except this ongoing debt of love. Now, why is that so important tonight? This call to love is everywhere. You see how it changes the way that we look at our neighbors, how we live before our neighbors, how we're good citizens, why we do what we do. Christians often don't fulfill their basic debts well. Why not? Because we're not properly driven. And this is what Paul is doing for us tonight. This is what the Spirit wants us to understand tonight. You know God loves a cheerful giver. Well, if he put the governing authorities in place, think about that. I'm giving and paying taxes to keep justice maintained. What we're studying tonight is an issue of the heart. I asked the elders and deacons the other day in our training, let me give you an example of this. I asked this question. I said, are we called to forgive everyone who offends us, even if we're never asked? Does forgiveness require a request? And we had a good roundtable about this. The conclusion was made, well, yes, somebody to grant them verbal forgiveness, to go up, to grant them verbal forgiveness and express that I forgive them verbally, they need to come to me. They need to ask that. And I would fulfill an obligation, wouldn't I? But isn't forgiveness much more than a verbal obligation to release the offense when somebody asks? Of course it is. Jesus taught this. Jesus gave a whole parable about this. Jesus talked about a man who owed a great debt, and he went to his master and he begged him. He said, I have this great debt. And the master forgave the debt. And then that servant went out and grabbed another man who owed him something very small by the neck. And he would not forgive that debt. And that wicked servant did that and abused that other man. And remember what happened? Remember how Jesus closed out that little parable? When the master heard that, he was furious and threw him in prison till he should pay it all. And then Jesus says this, so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. He took it right to the heart. To the heart. From the heart. Having forgiven him from the heart is the love that motivates the expression of forgiveness with the mouth. It's the duty that I've granted because it's already there. That distinction is important. It's fascinating. When I go back and I look at the royal law of love in the Old Testament, and I look at the royal law, as James calls it, and we're looking tonight at dealing with love to neighbor, second table. It's interesting how it comes. Listen to this. This is the heart of where it came from in Leviticus chapter 19. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall not take vengeance, nor shall you bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Zechariah 8. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath, for all things I hate, says the Lord. Everywhere this royal law comes up, it's really fascinating to me that in the heart of it, in the Old Testament, the Lord is mentioning the heart. The promise of the new covenant was that God would do what? He would circumcise the heart to do what? Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the outflow of that would be Jeremiah 31. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. The whole approach to the law would be different. And true love for our neighbor never happens until it flows from a heart that loves God. And the effects of that love are evidenced everywhere. Now, why is this important tonight? Why am I rehearsing that? Well, the Apostle Paul is encouraging us, and he's encouraging us with now how we are thinking about the law of God, how we as Christians are thinking about the law of God, what is motivating our pursuit of it. This is designed to encourage us tonight in the little things that we think are pointless. Those actions are much greater than you realize toward your neighbor. Here's the exciting thing. He raises tonight now, helping us to understand that what we do matters. And he goes to the second table of the law in verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, all are summed up in the saying, namely, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul is saying this. The striking thing, whatever command there is with regard to your responsibility to your neighbor, all of it can be brought together under one summarizing principle. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What is he encouraging us with tonight? Why is that so shocking? Here's where Lord's Day 44 really helps us. If you have that open, I want you to listen to question 113. What is required in the 10th commandment? Answer, that there never should be enter into our heart. You see, they knew where they were going in this. There should never enter our heart even the least inclination or thought contrary to any commandment of God. But we should always hate sin with our whole heart and find satisfaction and joy in all righteousness. But can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No. Even the holiest, this is what we always quote with Heidelberg, even the holiest in this life only make a small beginning in this obedience, in this life. Now, this is where we kind of stop with the law. What we do with the law, a very important use of the law, something that has to happen with the law. It comes and it says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And what does that do? It draws out something. This is why we do this in worship. It draws out something. Its goal is, and we know this as Reformed Christians, we should have kind of a corner on the total depravity thing by now. It confronts us. And question and answer 115 really addresses this, doesn't it? Can you obey any of these things perfectly? Can you obey the commands perfectly? Well, if you can't, then why does God want them preached? What is the purpose of the law? Why are you doing that? Answer, you need to know your sinfulness. And the law comes and it's searching you and it's saying there, and it's saying there. And the minister comes up and he may not seem like such a nice guy at that moment because he's really saying you guys are adulterers and adulteresses. You're murdering in the heart. And you don't even see it like you should. And the minister then, if he's doing his job, is turning you to Christ, isn't he? And that's what 115 says, that we do this and we need to constantly go to Jesus. That's a whole Christian life. We're constantly doing this. This is Romans 7. This is what we do. And that is all the purpose when that law was given to show us our need for the Savior, and to open our minds to how great a Savior we have, who has fulfilled all righteousness that we need for our justification before God. Now, what's the danger? The danger is this, that if I only use the law that way, if it only comes that way, then I will begin to see this. And I'm talking about Christians. Christians redeemed, justified, all righteousness fulfilled for them in Jesus. Now set apart, new creatures, eyes opened. If I only use the law that way, it becomes kind of rigid. It becomes kind of hard. It can be kind of unimaginative. And every time we hear the law, what do? Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. I just can't do it. Now, when we look at Lord's Day 44, and we look at what it says, did you notice there in question 114 that there's a second part to that? Let me show you the danger before I get there. I was... Remember years ago, a women's Bible study, and they all got together and they asked the question, can the Christian do any good? And it was amazing to me because a lot of these women in the course of their lives, sitting under pulpit ministry and under the law, they had only received the law in its first use. And they drew the conclusion in the study that there was absolutely nothing good that they could do in the Christian life. And they were fine with leaving it that way. And I've seen what happens in that scenario. We have this view of the law, and then we never get to the second part of question 114. What is the second part of 114? Nevertheless, can't keep it, we know, perfectly. But nevertheless, they begin with serious purpose to conform not only to some, but to all of the commandments of God. Does that make you nervous to say that? Does that make you a little bit nervous tonight? Do you realize that the Lord wants to encourage us tonight? He wants to encourage us. And again, I can't get over, I think Calvin said it right. Paul's design is to reduce the precepts of the law to love so that we might know that we then rightly obey his commands. Notice what he says. When you love your neighbor, it's the law that you're fulfilling. That's the emphasis. Did you hear it? When you love your neighbor, it's the law that you are fulfilling. The law, with all of its specifics, receives its intention. You're no longer under it for condemnation. And this is where we struggle, because you have to now go back and say, listen, I'm not saying here that you're fulfilling it for your own righteousness. We've already done that. We did that in Romans 10. Christ fulfilled righteousness for you. Notice what he's saying here. With circumcised hearts, you're now tasting the beginnings of what is going to come full in the resurrection. But you're tasting it. You're getting it. Why? Because the heart has been circumcised. The beginning work is done. The first resurrection has happened. The Spirit has been given to you. And now you're tasting in your lives, by his power, a beginning of doing the commands. You're tasting it. And this is what Paul said about the commandments. The purpose of the command is love from a what? Pure heart. From a good conscience. And from sincere faith. The Lord showed us this everywhere. I think he gave us real glimpses of this in the Gospels. I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she has put in out of the poverty that she had, her whole livelihood. How about this one? For she's done a good work for me. Jesus said that. She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. It's as if Jesus was saying, this is what I'm after. Look at love from a pure heart. Look at love from a redeemed heart. Look what it looks like. See it. I'm going to set up this memorial so you see it. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Tonight, what the apostle has done is called us to love our neighbors with all the interest and care that I love myself with my own faults. And you understand then, when you come to passages like Romans 13, and it's telling us to submit to authority, it's telling us to love our president, who, there's the guy that gets under our skin the most. It tells us to honor authority structures in our lives, and we just can't stand them. When we have to pay our taxes and we're unhappy about that, when we're called upon to honor somebody that we don't want to do it, we do these things. Now, why? We do it from a good conscience. We're doing these things because with redeemed hearts, doing it unto the Lord, loving the Lord, we're doing these things now to honor the very intention of the law of God. And that changes the perspective of how I look at all of my duty. When it's motivated this way, with the purpose of the commandment, with sincere love from a pure heart, now that is my greatest way in life of saying thank you to the Lord. So when I write the check to the U.S. government, I can say, thank you, Lord, you're promoting and you're keeping the justice and you do what's right with this money. And hold those accountable who abuse it. I can say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for putting authority structures in my life. I'm going to show them the respect. I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them because that is my service, reasonably. Because being thankful, I want to honor your law. Everything driven by this command to love. We love because he first loved us. And everything I do motivated by love is to show that to my brethren. I'm doing it unto the Lord. Whatever I do, eat or drink, I do it unto the Lord. You've got a million opportunities this week. And it doesn't work to say, you know, I'm so bad. I really just can't do anything. You've got a million ways to go encourage. You've got a million ways to love your neighbor. to give them a word of kindness, to embrace them, to help them. All of that, when motivated by love, fulfills the intention of the law. And that's what he wants you to know. Bear one another's burdens. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Let your love be, Romans 12, without masks. Let it be sincere. And the purpose from the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And in doing that, so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the law of God with all of its specifics and all of its commands. How we love your law. We cherish your law. And having been set free from the law of sin and death by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we now desire to honor this law in gratitude. And we're thankful that you have encouraged us tonight that when we demonstrate love, we are fulfilling the very design and honoring the intention as you had originally given it in the Old Testament. Thank you that we begin to taste that. And even though we fall so far short, we ask for forgiveness. We do ask that you would help us by your Spirit. As we read in question and answer 114 tonight, that we would begin with serious purpose to conform not only to some, but to all of your commandments, because that is your will for us. Help us to do that. And may we always be thankful in everything that we do for the love that was put on display before us this morning in Genesis 22. And let us go out into another week and tell others and show others and demonstrate to others that kind of sacrificial love. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
How we achieve love, because that is constantly being challenged. And that's why I don't want to separate whatever's coming here from the whole bigger picture of love. And he's using tonight something that is very common to us, something that we understand, language, to motivate us in that great calling to love. And he's using the description of sleep. In fact, what he's saying here tonight simply is, I want you to be awake as Christians. And he takes that basic call to being awake, and then he describes what being awake looks like. What does being awake as a Christian look like? How do we achieve that? How does being awake, what does that look like then if we're really achieving and laying hold of the goal for us? And that's the exciting message at the end of Romans 13. He's helping you think about the awakening of the Christian. Awakening that's real and sincere. Awakening that's a constant battle throughout the course of the Christian life.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.